So we've been talking about anxiety. If you've been at any of the healing services recently, that's been the topic. And we're going to continue that tonight. And I want to draw your attention to some of the lessons we read. And I want you to think about the reality of reading these words if you're feeling anxious. We're not qualifying that anxiety. Whatever the anxiety is, I'll turn your attention first to the lesson in Philippians that Jeff read for us. Rejoice in the Lord always. I don't know about you, but when I am in a spiral, as I would like to call it, where I've started at one point with an anxiety and anxious thought, and that one moment of anxiety has spiraled down into the depths. And not only am I worried about this one thing that's actually happening in front of me, but now I'm worried about every other thing that my brain can possibly conceive of. I'm not really feeling like rejoicing in that moment. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Our psalm tonight started just the same way. You who live in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. How easy is it when we're spiraling to not actually believe that? We know that moment, whatever it is in our lives that's causing that anxiety, to be able to gather together or by ourselves in front of the Lord and say and pray and believe these words sometimes feels like an outright lie. We picked these lessons intentionally tonight because all of this struck me. So I'm going to tell you a little story. Some of you may have heard me talk about the fact that I lived in Toronto before this, before I moved back to Florida last year, and we had a very serious lockdown in COVID. I'm not here to talk about COVID. I'm not here to talk about any of that, but I am here to talk to you about the reality of hope. Because I was there for many years, and we went through lockdown after lockdown. I literally couldn't come home and see my family. At one point, our lockdown was 8 months long, and I spent 4 of those months in isolation. And I don't share that because that's not the thing I want you to remember. But it sets the stage. This weekend, I had the opportunity to travel to a conference called RADVO in Dallas, and one of my favorite professors was there, and I was reminded of a homily similar to this one he gave in December 2021. We were faced with going back into a lockdown. The government had just announced, as well as the university, that we weren't going to be able to be in person. And I remember that day so clearly because of this message that was given. Because, you see, we prayed the words in that psalm. We prayed them that day. And it said, in my God whom I trust. And I sat there as a seminarian, admittedly not trusting. And as I sat in the back corner of that church, I thought, God, I can't do this again. I can't do it again. I can't get stuck up here by myself again. I can't sit on 14 hours of Zoom classes a day again. I can't. And that was my prayer that morning as we read these passages and it said, rejoice in the Lord. And I was like, I don't have anything left in me to rejoice. This isn't a happy moment for me, God. And you're demanding a lot, it feels like. And so Professor Ephraim Radner gets up, and he was leading the service that day. And started it hilariously. He gets up there and he tells everyone to be seated, which was not the norm. If you've been around the Episcopal Church, you know there's a liturgy to things. We know when to stand, we know when to sit, we know when to kneel. And he broke the code and he told everyone to sit down, and he opens it up and he says, well, you know, I'm officiating this morning, so I'm going to take a minute, and I'm already up here, and so there's nothing they can do about it now, so please have a seat. Which was my first sign things were about to get strange. And so he got up and proceeded to share how this lockdown that we were facing was not the same. That sounded really beautiful. But I kind of thought he was full of it. I'll admit that to you. It was actually, I'm going to give it away, I promise. But it was actually so meaningful that it was on a live stream, as everything was back in 2020, 2021. And the school transcribed it. That was how powerful the message was. So I have it in front of me, and I'm going to read you just a couple of tidbits from it. He said, we're not the same people we were 2 years ago. At least that's what I believe. We've learned some very important things. We've learned how to hope more fully. That is to say, our hope now can encompass, because we've seen God do good in our midst in the face of tremendous challenges. We've learned to hope more fully about God's work, not just in our lives as individuals, but corporately in our community. He goes on to say, I think we've also learned to pray more deeply. Not only individual prayers for ourselves, but for our community, our world, for one another, for this school. And about the fact that in this hope, which runs as a current in God's world, our needs find their place and not the other way around. Our needs find their place in the hope of Jesus. Jesus and the hope of Christ isn't something we use to fit into our lives and say, God, here is exactly how I want you to fix this. I'm feeling really anxious about this problem, and here is what I'd like you to do. I don't know about you, but I'm more guilty of that than I'd like to admit. God, I have a great idea. Let me just run it by you. That's not how our faith works. He continued and talked about understanding a divine love. I think we've learned to share divine love more generously with one another. We've let go of some of the things that have held us back individually. We've learned to care for one another in ways that go beyond perhaps what it looked like years ago. Obviously, we're on a journey, he says, but I see a difference. We've learned something. This continued on. I'm not going to read the entire thing. This continued on until I was sitting in the very back of that chapel with a mask on, which just makes this next part complicated, openly weeping. Because you see, he's right. We get so caught up in the spiral and the anxiety of our lives that we miss the hope that we have in Christ. We forget that it's not about all the things we're consumed of or on, though they're a huge, huge part of our day-to-day existence. That's why Philippians starts so strongly with rejoice. Even when we sit here and we go, you know what, God? I have a laundry list of complaints and not a lot to rejoice about. Our anxiety is not something to be ignored, but it is something to be countered with the peace and the hope of Christ. I love a good to-do list. I talk about that all the time. And guess what? I never feel more hopeful or peaceful or less anxious when I cross more things off my to-do list because I just add more. Welcome to the human condition. Us conquering or getting rid of our anxiety doesn't actually have anything to do with how successful we feel like we are. The only truly cure for what ails us is Jesus. Now, also hear me say, I'm a big believer in therapy. I'm a big believer in all of that. But listen, I wouldn't have even known to put myself back in therapy before this sermon happened if Jesus hadn't been leading the charge. Because as I stand here today, I can tell you that all of that happened before our really bad lockdown. I was already doing the very most that I could to be okay. And the reality is sometimes it's just not okay. The hope of Christ, that he loves us, that he died for our sins, that we don't deserve any bit of it. And still he shows up, even when I blatantly sit in a church and disagree with the readings I hear. That doesn't change the fact that Jesus loves us. He still is advocating for us. He's still after our souls. And my prayer is that for all of us, myself included, that relieves at least a little bit of the anxiety. Because friends, the hope of Christ is more powerful than anything else we could ever encounter. Amen.